between three-dimensional CFTs, okay, and type 2B supergravity, or let's say type 2B string theory, on some background. So it's 2B background of the form ADS4 times six-dimensional compact space. Okay. I will describe both sides of the correspondence. Then I'll try to explain how you can match, you can understand the correspondence between the two. And if I have some time, I will speak about possible tests or applications of this duality by calculating partition functions of this side, and match it with calculation of the action on the other side. Okay. So first, what are these CFTs? They arise as IR fixed point of gauge theories. So they are IR fixed point of theories. So they are three-dimensional. They have n equal 4 supersymmetry. So this is 8 supercharges. It's the same as n equal 2 in 4 dimension. And they are described by Young-Mills gauge groups. So the gauge groups in question are products of unitary groups. So you can have an arbitrary number of unitary groups. Okay, NP. So you have a vector multiplet for each of this factor. And you can have, on top of that, a number of hypermultiplet. Okay, hyper. Either in the fundamental representation of one of these UN. So, okay, either in the bifundamental representation of two of this UN. So, this kind of theories are summarized in the literature by a little drawing that we call quiver. And basically, this kind of drawing are made, you have one cycle for each UN factor, and inside you put the rank of the UN until NP. Now you can have a given number of fundamental hypermultiplet in each of this gauge group. So if I have M1 fundamental hypermultiplet in the UN1, I have this. Okay, the same for the others. Okay. And now you have bifundamental for any two adjacent UN, and I draw a line to symbolize that I have a bifundamental hypermultiplet for these two gauge groups, the same for the two adjacent until the end. Okay, so this little picture is a summary description of this gauge theory. And so the claim is that the IR limit of such theories will be dual to string theory on some background. So let me remind you that these theories are Young-Mills theories, and so in the infrared they are strongly coupled. In three dimension, the Young-Mills coupling is dimensionful, and when you flow to the infrared, in the UV it's asymptotically free. And in the infrared, it's the coupling goes to infinity, so it's infinitely strongly coupled. So basically, the idea that all these theories have a very non-trivial infrared limit that we don't know anything about it. And so basically, that is the big use of this correspondence, is that maybe we could derive some properties of the infrared fixed point by looking at the 2B dual. Okay. Good. So now, let me go to the supergravity part. So, can write it here. So we have 2B supergravity solution. Which are of the form ADS 4 times a 2-sphere times a second 2-sphere, and the whole is wrapped over a surface that we call sigma, okay, with a two-dimensional manifold. And so for the wrap factor of each of these manifold depend on two coordinates. Some important ingredients in this solutions are that they have non-trivial flux. So they have non-trivial five-form flux, but also three-form flux and the three-form flux of the Neve-Schwarz B field. Okay, so these are the field strengths for the Ramon-Ramon field, and this one is the field strength for the B field. Good. Now, how do you look at these solutions? Usually, you draw this surface as a strip. An infinite strip. So, can not forward. Okay, this is an infinite strip. But although it is, I mean, this is a convenient way to look at the solutions. But I mean, you can put it on a disk or on the surface you want. So, although this strip looks infinite, the volume is finite. It is a true compactification. So in a sense, you have to add two points at infinity, and it is really a compact space. So the solution is on the inside of this strip. So at any point, you should think that you have an ADS 4 times S2 times S2. Okay. And the radius of the ADS 4 and the S2 and the second S2 is different if you are at different point on sigma. Another quite important thing is that the boundary of this strip are not boundary of the geometry. Because, for example, on the upper boundary, the radius of one of the two sphere is equal to zero. It goes to zero on the upper boundary. And this means, in a sense, that the points on this line are like the north pole of a three sphere. Okay? Although it looks like a boundary, actually, these points are not at all boundary, but interior point of the full 10-dimensional geometry. So in a sense, the only boundary of this space are the boundary, or the conformal boundary, of the ADS 4 factor. Okay. So on the lower boundary, it's the same. You have the radius of the other two sphere. So first two sphere, second two sphere. The radius goes to zero. So, in a nice way, so that these points are in the interior of the geometry. Okay, and now, what are the all these solutions have they have singularities. Actually, there are singularities on the upper boundaries of the strip, point singularities, and there are others on the lower boundary. Now, usually it's not very good when you have singularities on solutions, but actually what you could see is that these singularities can be interpreted as as the presence of five brains. So how do you see that? Actually, first you can look at the metric close to the singularity and you recover exactly what you expect from a five brain. Second point, you can think of integrating a three form on a manifold which is made by a segment linking, going from the upper boundary to the other, and cycling around the singularity, okay, times the two sphere whose radius vanish here and here. Okay, so this is a three-dimensional manifold, and actually topologically it's like a three-sphere, okay, because the radius of the S2 vanish here and here. So here, with this singularity, we have a non-contractible three-sphere, and we can look at we can integrate on this three-sphere, for example, the three-form flux. And what we see is that this flux is non-zero. And this is what we expect from a D5 brain, because the D5 brain is a source for the Ramon three-form field strength. And so for all of these singularities, you have a non-trivial flux of F3. Okay. So I don't know how to write it. Okay, F3 is non-trivial. And on the singularities on the lower part, you have a non-zero flux of H3. So what do you understand? You understand that these singularities are not a problem, or you think so. The singularities on the upper boundary are D5 brains. Okay. And on the lower boundary, they are the NS5 brains. So these are another type of five brain, which produce not a flux of the three form, but a flux of the H3. So now you have a solution where you understand that in the string theory picture, there should be some D5 brains and NS5 brains. Okay, and so for each singularity, you have two parameters. Okay, one is a parameter which gives the intensity of the flux. So basically, it's proportional to the number of brain located at the singularity. So for each singularity, you have a number of brains proportional to the flux, plus the position of the singularity on the upper boundary. So position. Okay. And the solution is fully determined by these parameters, which are a couple of parameters for each singularity. So these are the parameters of your solutions. It's a couple of real for each singularity on the upper side and on the lower side. Okay. Now, another thing. You have not only non-trivial three-form flux, but also the five-form flux. So around each singularity, you can integrate also on the remaining two sphere. So you have a five cycle, which is non-contractible, and the five-form flux, or you have to be careful about what you do, but you can define a conserved five-form flux, and this have a non-trivial, non-zero flux around each singularity. And non-zero five-form flux is a signature of the presence of D3 brain in string theory. So if you try to think of it as the near horizon limit of some geometry in string theory, though you are thinking of a geometry which involves D3 brain, D5 brain, and NS5 brain. And this picture gives you the intuition that if you are to write a string theory picture of what is this configuration, you imagine a number of D3 brains that I symbolize by lines, okay, on top of each other. And on one side, they end on D5 brains. So let's say this are D5 brains, and the D3 are ending on the D5 brains, and on the other side, they end on NS5 brains. So I will symbolize NS5 brains by this little dot. Okay. And the D3 brain end on them. Okay. So in this picture, I should mention for the various brains, what dimensions they are filling. So I can write a little table with the different coordinates. Okay. So we can imagine. Actually, there is only one way to put the brains in a way that respects the good amount of supersymmetry, because we have to preserve 8 supercharges. I mean, if we expect these solutions, I mean, these solutions have a good number of killing spinors, okay? So they have a good number of supersymmetries to match with the supersymmetry of this kind of description. So now, if you want a brain configuration that has a good supersymmetry as well, you have to put, so you imagine the D3 are on this direction. For the D5, you have to share 3 dimension and to put it on 3 other dimension. And for the NS5, you share also the 3 first dimension, and you are filling the 3 remaining. So this configuration has a good number of supersymmetries. And so this picture, you can think of this direction as the X3 direction, where you have only the D3 brains. And this direction, for example, you take the X4. Okay. So on the blackboard, the D3 brains are lines, the D5 are lines also, and the NS5 are points. Okay. Good. So basically, for any of these solutions, you can understand them as the near horizon limit of the D3 brains, of the D3 brains on this configuration. Good. So now, why am I introducing all that? Now you have to understand how you can make contact from this side with this class of theories, which in a sense look very different. Actually, to do that, you need to use the brain picture. That's why I introduced it. Because actually, all these theories you can understand them as the low energy limit of configurations of these three brains ending on D5 and NS5 as well. So let me take an example. I hope people can see the whole blackboard. Yeah. So if I take, for example, just a UN gauge group plus K fundamental hypermultiplet, so this is just the quiver N K, you can think of this theory as the low energy limit of N D3 brains. Okay, ending on both sides on an NS5, on two NS5 brains, and with crossing a number k of D5 brains. So basically, when you look at the fields leaving on the D3 brain, coming from open string modes, in the low energy limit, you have a UN gauge theory with k fundamental hypers coming from the strings stretch between the D5 and the D3. And this theory is effectively three-dimensional because the D3 brain has a finite extent in one direction. So basically, the D3 brains are filling four dimensions, but one of them is compact. So when you look at the low energy limit, you are considering wavelengths that are much larger than this length, okay? And so effectively, the theory doesn't see this dimension, and the theory is three-dimensional. Good. So for example, this theory can be understood as a low energy limit of the open string living on the D3. It's exactly, in a sense, the same picture as the usual, the original ADS CFT for N equal 4 super young Mills. It's the low energy theory living on a bunch of D3 brains. So the only difference is that here you have a finite extent. So now, if you want to elaborate for example, a quiver with two UN and K1 and K2 hypermultiplet. This corresponds in the brain picture to having you have three NS5 brains. Here you have N1 D3 brain from the first to the second, N2 D3 brain to the second, from the second to the third, and you add the good number of hypermultiplets. These are K1, and these are K2. Okay? So the low energy theory living on the D3 brain of this brain configuration describe the IR limit of this gauge theory. What you should keep in mind is that the statement of the correspondence is between the IR limit of this gauge series and 2B string theory on those backgrounds. Okay, so all this little construction is to explain you that for any of these quivers, you can generalize this kind of duality, and any gauge theory can be understood as low energy limit of the fields living on the D3 brain of such a configuration. So now, what remains to make contact between this part and the other part is to understand how these configurations of brains could be mapped with these configurations of brains. So at first sight, they are not the same. Because for all of these solutions, you understand them as some configurations of brains where all the D5 are on one side and all the NS5 are on the other side. And it's not the case in this picture, because in this picture, the D5 brains are in the middle of the NS5 brains. So you have to understand how to change that. So now, what you should understand is that if you move here these D5 brains on the X3 direction, on this direction, it does not change the fact that it corresponds to this gauge theory. Because in the low energy limit, you are considering what happens in this direction is not seen by the infrared theory. Wavelengths are much larger than this length. So if you move a little the five brains, it does not change the low energy limit. The only thing that matters is the ordering of the brains. So what you would like to do is to say, OK, I can begin with such a configuration and put all the five brains on this side. And then I will try to see which configuration on this side corresponds to which one on this side. But in the process, there are some non-trivial things that happen, that the D5 brain cross NS5 brains. And for this, it has been known for 15 years that when a D5 brain crosses an NS5 brain, there is a D3 brain creation between the two of them. So this is known as a Hanani-Witten effect or something like that. So for, let me do this. If I have this configuration and I want to put my D5 brain here, the resulting configuration has an additional, let me put this here, an additional D3 brain stretched between this one and this one. So this is a subtle effect that I will not spend time to explain, but maybe there are questions after. So just what I wanted to say, that in the process where you move all the D5 to the right, you have D3 brain creation. And at the end, you end up with this kind of configuration. And so the claim is that the gauge theories described by brain configurations on this side match with the corresponding supergravity solution. So as a summary of this, of such a picture, for any of this brain configuration, you can describe it with two partitions of an integer n. So if you imagine that here you have n D3 brains, you know that this configuration is described by two partitions of n, giving the number of brains ending on the five brains on one side. So if you have rho and rho hat, two partition of n, okay, so I don't know if it's clear. The only thing that describes its configuration is the number of brain ending on the first plus the number of brain ending on the second plus et cetera, et cetera. So this is just a partition of the integer n. And on the other side, it's the same. You have another partition to describe how the D3 ends on the various NS5. So this configuration is summarized by these two partitions of the integer n. Okay, And so if you are given two partitions, you know the 2B supergravity solution corresponding. And on the other side, it's the same. When you have the two partitions, when you are here, okay, you put all the D5 brains on the other side, you have exactly the same kind of configuration, and you have two partitions, rho and rho hat. And so the low energy limit of such a configuration is called, it has a generic name, which is tau, T rho, rho hat of SUN. This is a complicated name, not very intuitive. So these are partitions of N. So the infrared limit is known as a name. This is the name of the theory. Okay, so now what can you check to see if this correspondence is true? First, there is a very non-trivial check, which is to match the global symmetries of these theories with something on the other side. And all these theories have very non-trivial global symmetries. They have the symmetries for the kind of rotation of the hypermultiplet. So you have a global symmetries UM1 times UM2 times UMP. And on top of that, you have a hidden global symmetries. Because actually, this kind of, I don't know if you are familiar with that, but this kind of theory have a mirror dual. And the mirror dual is a theory of this type as well. And now with different numbers of hypermultiplet in the gauge groups. And in the other theory, the explicit global symmetries are another type of U, let's call it M1. Okay, I'll try to be more clear. Clear. U. M. So this is here you see an explicit global symmetry here, and there is as well a hidden global symmetries. And it happens that on the gravity side, these global symmetries are exactly matched by the stacks of 5 brains. So for example, here, for such a global symmetry, you will get M1 5 brain here. And you know that you don't see what happens on the 5 brains in this picture. But you know, if you know a bit of string theory, that on the 5 brains, you have, if you put M1 D5 brains together, you have UM1 gauge group living on it. And this gauge group exactly match the global symmetry as UM1. And for the second, you have a second stack with M2 D5 brains, etc. Okay, until MP. And now the hidden global symmetries match with the stacks of NS5 brains. So if you have a hidden global symmetries like with the M hat, it means that the 2B solution as M1 hat NS5 brain here, M2 hat here, etc. And actually, the mirror symmetry on this side is understood exactly by exchanging D5 and NS5 brains on this side. And this is here is the S duality. So this is something known, very well known, that mirror symmetry in the string theory picture is just S-duality. And this is recovered in this correspondence. Okay. Now, let me see. Good. So now that you have done, you are pretty convinced that this this correspondence is correct. Maybe you can have another check, which comes with calculating partitions functions on this side and match it with some supergravity calculation. Yes. Please.
Do we have a bounds on M1 and M2?
Bounds?
Yes.
No, no, they are not arbitrary. Actually, yes. They are. Among all these the possible theories, not all of them are believed to have a IR fixed point. But the one, I mean, the statement is that if you want to have a three-dimensional with n equal 4 supersymmetry irreducible, I'm going to say what this is, irreducible IR fixed points. So by irreducible, I mean that there is no decoupling fields in the IR limit. Okay, it's an interacting theory. I mean, irreducible and non-trivial as well. So if you want an irreducible non-trivial IR fixed point with a good number of supersymmetry, for each gauge group, for each UN, UNC, UUN, you need the condition that 2N is less than the number of fundamental, the number of flavors, which is basically the corresponding number of hypermultiplets. So if this is an I, 2NI should be less than the number of hyper plus the bifundamental hyper that contribute also. So you have NI plus 1, NI minus 1. So this comes from I mean, this is not something really proven rigorously. There are some arguments by looking at R charge of some operators. Actually, the statement is that if you do not respect this, you expect either that something is decoupling, either that some supersymmetry is broken. Actually, exactly. So one of the important checks of this correspondence is that the series described by the two partition automatically satisfies this condition. So we don't have no. A second. So first, if you have two partitions, I mean, if you describe a configuration like this, and you move the five brain here, automatically you satisfy this condition. But then you have a further check if that these two partitions have to satisfy some inequality. You cannot take two random partitions and move the five brain and see what is the gauge theory dual. Because in some cases, you will end up with an anti-D5 brain, actually, which is not good. So you have some some non-trivial checks to do, verify some inequalities involving these two partitions. And actually, for all these solutions, these inequalities are satisfied. So any solution gives you good partition here. And so with this good partition, you describe all the cases which match this condition. I'm not sure I'm clear enough. So now, where does this condition comes from? I would say I'm not, maybe I'm not expert enough in
so you're
this.
That your family of solutions exactly match the
yes.
Solutions
yes. Yes. Yes.
So that's a proof.
I don't know when we can say that something in a proof. So actually, the fact that we have this correspondence is an additional argument or proof, or I don't know how you want to call it, that these conditions are the good one. I mean, these conditions were known before, but I would say that it was the arguments were not totally straightforward. It was not one could have some doubt. But with this correspondence, actually, it's a kind of proof that these conditions were really the good one. I haven't found any paper talking about this special thing. We should discuss this after. Yeah. Okay. Yes, so let's discuss briefly the partition function. So one of the basic recipe of ADS CFT is that you should match the partition function of the CFT with the exponential of the action, so here action of 2B supergravity in the large n limit, in some limit. So usually the thing that is easy is to compute this part, or let's say the large n behavior of this part. And this is very difficult because actually there are partition functions of theories which become strongly coupled. Partition functions of gauge theories usually is a very complicated thing to calculate. But as we are lucky, there are a lot of people that they have found a very nice way to calculate partition function for the kind of theories we are looking at using what is called a localization technique. So basically, the main point of this is to reduce the path integral over the whole field configurations to just a matrix model. And so you have a general recipe to calculate this as a simple integral over a number of variables. And in some simple case, you can try to see if this calculation can match this calculation. So This is an ongoing work in progress, but we have very intriguing results, actually. So we are looking at a theory which is called just T of SUN. So this theory corresponds to having two identical partitions which are just 1, 1, 1, 1, okay, n times. So on the gauge theory picture, it corresponds to the quiver 1, 2, until n minus 1 with n hyper in the last one. So it's something quite complicated on the gauge theory side. But on the supergravity side, it's very simple because you have only two stacks of brains. You have only one stack of, you have n d5 brains and n ns5 brains. And so in this case, the solution, it's the most simple that you can think of, the most simple. And now we are computing the partition function in the large n limit. And the free energy, which is defined as minus log of the partition function, has a dominant behavior which goes in a very unusual way, like 1/2 n squared log n. So this partition are calculated as three-dimensional gauge theory, but they are calculated on the three sphere. Just to mention it. Okay, and on the gravity side, we are matching exactly the same behavior. So we have still to fix the coefficient, but we recover exactly this n squared log n behavior. And now, when you think that the free energy should intuitively be a measure of the number of degrees of freedom, then you see that an n squared log n is a very unusual number of degrees of freedom for a gauge theory. It's quite, I mean, it's in a sense a bit shocking. So we are, I mean, if anyone has a good interpretation of this, I think we'll be happy to discuss it. Okay, so how many time? Maybe I can stop here. I don't know if you. So we are interested in trying other theories, but actually the computation on the 2B side is not so simple when you have many stacks of 5 brains. So, okay, so maybe now just stop and ask if you have questions. No? Yes? No, actually, this radius is given. It's a function of the two parameters of the strip, and it depends on the parameters given by the 5 brains. There is no additional parameter for the radius of ADS4. The number of 5 brains and their position on the strip. The flux are integer. So there is a quantization of these parameters, yes. All these parameters are quantized. So in a sense, it's something like you wonder if you have not a solution which has all moduli fixed. But in a sense, this is not sure because maybe there are some deformations of these geometries which break some supersymmetry. This is a discussion you can have. But basically, all the parameters of these solutions are quantized. It is, around each singularity, you have two flux. a flux of a three form. This quantizes the number, it gives the number of brains. And you have a flux of the five form in addition, which is basically the number of three brains ending on this stack. Okay, so this is, so you have usual arguments of quantization of such. Yes, but you are not free to choose any position. Because in some positions, because you have to respect these conditions as the flux are quantized. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, because on the gravity solution, so you have two stacks. So you have one stack with n d5 brains and another stack with n ns5. And actually, the position of these brains is given by a log n. Okay? So let's say minus log n, and here it's something like a log n, the positions. Okay, and so in the large n limit, away from the, if you go to infinity, if you are far from this brain, it goes to zero. The solution goes to zero very rapidly. The same on the other side, and in the middle, it has a radius which is almost constant, and which is like, not a radius, but in the middle, the 2B action scales like n square in all this region. And so basically, when you have the naive estimation of the action is an n square times the volume of the geometry, and the volume goes like log n. So you have a naive estimation of n square log n. This is just the log n comes from the position of the brains, actually. So on the 2B, in the you see clearly the n square log n appearing on this side. On the gauge theory side, it's really more mysterious. But we are talking about strongly coupled theory, so maybe I don't know. Thank you. So, how was it?